father. And every faith, heart, fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour with Paul Sadek and Corey Regan starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, brought to you on Relevant Radio by Stinson Electric, your trusted electrical advisor solving electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Thanks for joining us today. And we are joined this morning by a very, very special guest, the new Director for Evangelization for the Archdiocese, Jeff Cavins.
I've seen you somewhere before.
I think I know him. He's here in studio with us and will be with us for the whole show.
Good morning, Jeff. Thank you for coming.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Corey. It's good to be with you.
Tell us a little bit about this appointment. What led to it?
Well, you know, it's all new and fresh, and I'm very excited about it. My wife and I have been back in the Twin Cities since 1999 from Alabama, where we were involved at EWTN. And you know, in the last 14 years or so, we've been just involved in creating the Bible studies with the Great Adventure,
right.
Talking, speaking around the country. Was involved in Relevant Radio, you know, for a while in the area of evangelization. And the last 8 years, I've been involved with the Catechetical mm-hmm. Institute, working with Kelly Walquist and developing a sound program there. And to be honest with you, evangelization has always been a part of my heart and always been a part of my thinking since the 1970s. And it really started with a lunch with Bishop Pichet.
Oh, yeah.
And we were having lunch one day, and we were talking about something else unrelated. And we were talking about the Catechetical Institute, I believe. And he brought up out of nowhere that the Archdiocese was going to be hiring, they were going to be hiring director for evangelization.
Mm-hmm.
And when he said that, just something leaped in my heart. It just leapt, whatever.
That's usually a good sign.
Yeah, it mm-hmm. and something was burning inside of me. And I hardly could pay attention to the rest of the conversation, because when he said that, there was something that said, that's for you.
This is for you.
That's for you.
And you knew.
Yeah, I did at that point, but it scared me a little bit because, you know, it means
it's
a reshuffling of your schedule, mm-hmm. and it is a big role.
Of your life.
Yeah.
Life-changing role. Now, we know it's a troubling time in our local church right now, and not to put too much on your shoulders, but, I mean, your appointment is one sign of hope for people struggling with the allegations that have surfaced recently. And what would you say to people discouraged by everything that's going on in the church right now, locally especially?
Well, I would say that it is a hopeful time. And you know, at any point in church history, we're always going to have problems and difficulties and failures at various times. But we have to keep our hearts and our minds on the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the main thing is Jesus Christ and the fact that he does love you and he has died for you. He has a plan for your life, and that plan is a very good plan. It's an eternal plan. And he's inviting you to come into his family as adopted sons and daughters and share in his life. That's what we're about as a church. We're about serving the King, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And will we have problems along the way? Absolutely. But the problems are not our faith.
Mm-hmm.
Our faith is our faith, and the truth is the truth. And that's what we're focusing on here. And I know that the bishops and the leadership down at the chancery are all focused on this this mission of evangelization and bringing Jesus Christ to people. And once we get focused on the task at hand, which is introducing people to Christ, which is what evangelization is all about, you become so focused on that, and it becomes exciting. It truly is the great adventure in life, and that helps to put the problems that we face in perspective. We're a big church, and you know, there's a lot of families that are big families, and you can go out there in the world and find Catholic families with 5 kids, 6 kids, 7 kids, 11 kids, and you interview that family, you're gonna find that there have been problems. There have been problems, but they didn't quit being family.
Right.
Yeah. You know, they had to keep going on as a family. And you know what? Eventually, there's light at the end of that tunnel, and it's a new day. And we typically are better off, and we grow, and we're more mature,
stronger. Yeah.
Right.
Now, you're the director of the Office of Evangelization, and that seems like such a big word, big concept. People in the pews, people outside of the pews, what kind of impact can we look for?
Well, when you say I'm the director of evangelization, it's true. I'm the director of evangelization, but evangelization is not something that just a director does. Evangelization is the business of the church. It is our vocation. It's our calling. And when we talk about evangelization, there's misconceptions about it, and there's also ideas that people have in their head as to what that means. Like, for example, when we talk about evangelization, people might think of maybe somebody standing on the street corner and preaching the gospel.
Right.
Sure.
Or it's just
knocking on doors,
whatever. And maybe we'll incorporate some of that. But but evangelization, when you boil it all down, is creating opportunities for people to meet Jesus Christ. And I feel that my job as the director of evangelization is to create, or if you will, invent, if we need to, opportunities and ways for everybody in the pew to be a part of the process. Evangelization is not for those who are eloquent only. Evangelization is not for those who are connected only. It's not for those who are excited about their faith only. It's all of our responsibilities.
Yeah.
Right. So we can't create just opportunities for a select few. We have to create opportunities where everybody can get involved.
They fit everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, this office is brand new, so you'll start building your team. But what do you see 6 months from now or a year from now with this Office of Evangelization?
Well, over the next 6 months, what's on our plate, the biggest thing is the Catholic celebration in October.
Right.
The new celebration, October 3rd mm-hmm. and 4th. And that's going to be huge. And so I'm giving some of my time, first of all, to creating some wonderful opportunities there. We're going to have some speakers that I think people are going to like, some special surprises that I think people are going to like.
And it's 2 days this year?
It's 2 days. It's a Friday night, October 3rd for young adults. And then all day Saturday on the 4th.
In a bigger location.
Big,
yeah. We need to, because it sold out last year, need more space.
We're going to have some space.
That's a good
sign. Yeah, we're going to be at the Minneapolis Convention Center, and we can have up to 12,000 or so people at that event.
Hopefully we'll sell that out again.
Another thing I'm focusing on is continuing the growth of the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute.
Right.
I'm still the co-director now, along with Father Williams, working with Kelly Walquist. And we have a very exciting opportunity this fall for a brand new class to sign up for the Catechetical Institute. And the class this fall is going to be called the Class of St. Gianna Mola, and it's going to be at the seminary. And we're very excited about that. This one's limited to only 150 people, so registration is opening, and first come, first serve. We sold out last year. We're starting to sell out every year.
Jeff, good to have you here for the whole show today, and it's a jam-packed one coming up today. And our Answer the Call segment, we'll be talking with Sherry Waddell.
Yeah, and we'll speak with the author of a book called Mothers Forever, Fathers Forever, about parenting against the tide. Now, if you have children and are concerned about what culture is teaching them and how culture is influencing your parenting, you'll want to listen.
And we're going to hear from Father Eric Rutten about Rediscover Prayer and why you should attend one of these Kore Jesu prayer experiences this Lent.
But first, let's quickly check in with Joe Towalski, editor of the Catholic Spirit. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, everyone.
Tell us what's new in the news this week.
Well, it's an off week for us for the Catholic Spirit, but last week, a lot of non-public schools, including Catholic schools from around the state, met at the state capitol for Minnesota Non-Public Schools Day. And this is an annual event for school leaders and clergy, and it's an opportunity to learn about educational issues in the legislature that could impact them. And Peter Knoll, the education director of the Minnesota Catholic Conference, was there and is with us this morning to talk a little bit about the day and its importance. Good morning, Pete.
Morning, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Hey, this event last week is an annual event. Tell us why something like this is important to happen every year.
Well, that's a great question, Joe. And the reason we conduct this event every year is for the purpose of, first of all, informing our Catholic school leaders and non-public school leaders about some important legislation that's at the introduced at the state capitol during this current session. And there was a couple of interesting bills that we've been concerned about. And number one is the Safe and Supportive Schools Act bill. We do obviously oppose bullying in our schools. This bill is for primarily for public school districts, but of course, with many of our Catholic families matriculated in public schools, we had some concerns with the particular bill. We were advocating on behalf of a alternative bill that would allow for more local control and be a little less intrusive into the schools. And then the other bill that we had concerns about was a bill that would have repealed non-public pupil aid. That's textbook aid, transportation, guidance, counseling, health services, and special education. But we were able to avert that bill by work with the chief author of that bill. So that's been averted for the moment, but we really want to get our Catholic leaders involved and parents involved in advocating on behalf of the children, the families, and the educators in non-public schools. So we kind of go through a training session with them a little bit. We bring them in touch with some educational leaders like Alice Segrin, former commissioner of education, Kathy Saltzman, former state senator, now doing some wonderful work, and they were marvelous in terms of preparing the leaders to meet with their lawmakers later on that day.
Oh, that's great. And I understand Archbishop Neinstedt and a few other Catholic bishops attended.
Yes, that was marvelous. We were so delighted that Archbishop Neinstedt, Bishop Heppner from the Diocese of Crookston, Bishop Lavore from the Diocese of New Ulm, and Bishop Serba from the Diocese of Duluth were all able to stay with us the entire morning, and they were just marvelous. Archbishop Neinstedt in particular did a beautiful prayer for us kind of at the culmination of our morning session and sent the leaders forth to do good work, much like St. Thomas More, the patron saint of advocates. And he really encouraged the attendees to really bring a moral voice to the Capitol when they're meeting with their lawmakers as faithful citizens, to advocate on behalf of particularly the children and particularly those low-income families who really could benefit from such things as school choice, transportation to school, and the textbooks that currently are accorded to them through state funding.
Right. Well, important messages and important topics being addressed there. Thanks a lot for being able to join us this morning, Pete.
My pleasure. Anytime, Joe. Thanks for your great work.
And what else? You're looking for some stories about people coming into the church, aren't you?
That's right. We're looking ahead a bit here to the coming of Holy Week and Easter next month. And if anyone knows someone who's being initiated into the church this Easter Vigil who has a great story about discovering or maybe rediscovering their Catholic faith, we'd love to hear about it. And also, we'd love to hear about any special Easter traditions that people might have.
Where can they send those?
Yeah, they can go to our blog site, actually, CatholicHotDish.com, and there's a post there called Share Your Easter Stories with the Catholic Spirit, and if you click on that, there's all of the information about how to submit your story to us.
Great. Thank
March
you.
13th edition of the Catholic Spirit is out, and there's a new one just next week. Joe Towalski, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too. You can hear Joe, editor of the Catholic Spirit, every week here on the Rediscover Hour, and you can find the Catholic Spirit online anytime at thecatholicspirit.com.
And coming up on the Rediscover Hour and answering the call, we'll talk with international speaker and best-selling Catholic author Sherry Waddell about our call to intentional discipleship.
And a guide for parents, parenting against the tide. We'll speak with the author of Mothers Forever, Fathers Forever, when we come right back.
Rediscover. Hi, this is Paul Archambault, owner of Stinson Electric, and we are the proud sponsor of the Rediscover Hour. Stinson Electric is a Catholic, family-owned company that serves the electrical construction and repair needs of local businesses, churches, and schools. Our faith and our motto of quality, integrity, and service guides our business decisions every day. For small projects, troubleshooting a circuit, or installing an outlet or light fixtures, we have a fleet of service trucks that are staffed by licensed electricians who are knowledgeable, courteous, and efficient. They have the latest technology to diagnose and repair your electrical problem. For larger projects such as new building, building additions, or relocating equipment, we'll help you design, budget, and build the project. Stinson Electric would like to be your trusted electrical advisor. I would welcome the opportunity to meet with you and discuss your electrical needs. Call Stinson Electric, 612-424-7382.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. And as parents, we want the best for our children. But often our secular culture obscures what is truly important in raising children into healthy and happy adults.
And I'm Jeff Cavins, guest hosting today with Paul and Corey. In her sixth book, Mothers Forever, Fathers Forever, Parenting Against the Tide, author Linda Kroc offers parents practical advice drawn from the wisdom of the Catholic Church. Thanks for joining us today, Linda.
Good to have you. Well, I think this is a very important book, and people are certainly in need of advice in parenting with these changing times.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. I know that you're a parent, your grandparent, and a Catholic.
Yes. And I graduated from the Catechetical Institute.
You did. With high marks, I might add.
There's really not much more to add, except because that's been my most favorite subject in life, is to be a mother and a father. I mean, a mother and, of course, a grandparent. I'm a chemical engineer. I'm an MBA. Written some books. I've done a program for parents for about 12 years.
And so why did you write this Mothers Forever, Fathers Forever? How did that happen?
You know, it kind of combines two of my loves, writing books and talking
parenting.
About something that I really want to talk about. So...
Okay, and so you said that the book relies heavily on the Catechism of the Catholic Church for answers to parenting questions, and as you said, you attended the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute. So how did that experience of the in-depth learning of the Catechism influence this book?
It's interesting, because I had started to think about writing this book after I had finished my other trilogy for parents of teens and adolescents. And so I started writing the book, and I knew I wanted to base it on a source that I could rely heavily on, and I love the Catechism and, of course, the Bible. And so I had pretty much written the book. And then I heard about the Catechetical Institute, and Dave and I decided to explore that and apply and get in. And as I was sitting there listening to the instructors on any given day, it was just the depth that they added to my understanding of the paragraphs in the Catechism. Well, so let me back up a step. I thought I went in there kind of knowing what the Catechism had to say, you know, kind of like this sort of prideful sort of situation. And the depth that they added to my understanding of it and the topics and their own experiences and their own life experiences, and it just was phenomenal. I just really, really appreciated it. I doubt if, you know, everybody sitting there probably gathered something else from the program than I did, but I was just really aware of what they were saying because of the fact that I was writing a kind of a faith-based book. And by the way, Jeff, I quote you in the book. You might want to check it out.
Did you get your approval?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, we didn't mention it earlier. We were talking about a new class starting up this fall. And to know that people are going through the Catechetical Institute, coming out and doing the type
writing
of work you're
books.
Doing, this is incredible. And if you're listening, you know, to this thinking, maybe I got a book in me, maybe you need to come this fall, cistudent.com.
Definitely
you'll be here in a couple years.
The prerequisite to writing a Catholic book is attending
definitely
that
recommend
institute.
It.
Well, the first lesson in the book really catches my attention. You talk about positive affirmations, and as you know, child development experts are talking about, well, you got to be careful against overpraising kids. But you teach in the book that positive affirmations from parents to children make all the difference in the world. What is a positive affirmation? Give us some examples.
Well, my mother positively affirmed me about 30 years ago, for instance, when I told her you know, I was just a new mom, and I said, hey, Mom, I called her up one day, and I said, I'm going to write a book on parenting. And she was pretty quiet for a while because I know she was thinking big ideas.
Here we go.
And then I was telling her a little bit about it, and all she said was very quietly, good for you, Linda, just good for you.
That's all you needed.
That's an affirmation.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's a difference, isn't there, between
you're the best author ever, you know.
Exactly. And I kind of want to make something, bring something up here, because praise, we really misuse that word.
Yeah.
Because praise really means, it's a form of prayer, if you look it up in the catechism. Praise means to adore, to worship, to glory. You know, we don't do those things
not
for
to our
kids.
Children.
I hope
right.
not.
I,
them,
right.
Unless we make them false gods. But affirmation is to withhold, to uphold, to support, to show them when they've done a really good job, for what reason. So that's completely different than praise. And I think that the experts might be particularly worrying about this because there was a recent study that just came out in a small college where they've studied the last 5 years, and the number of narcissistic behaviors in each successive class is growing and growing and growing. Mm. So I think that's probably
that's
what this
it.
Is coming up.
Yeah.
So yes, everybody needs affirming, but
we're in a contraceptive culture, sadly. How does that impact parenting?
It really does impact parenting in so many ways because it creates the mindset that having children is similar to buying a car or buying things.
Like there's a manual and you can fix everything.
Mm-hmm.
And
You know, several years ago, Planned Parenthood ran an ad that went, babies are noisy, smelly, and expensive unless you want one. And while this probably really offends all of, you know, you and I, it rings true for a lot of people because that's exactly, you know, kind of the mindset when it's a utilitarian, you know, what's in it for me? What's parenthood in it for me? And so with contraception, I think couples tend to treat pregnancy and childbearing is, you know, what am I going to get for it? When's the time right? When do I want
for
one?
Me, yeah.
When do I feel like the time's right? Instead of asking, you know, what does God want me to have a baby, or what would be thinking about the contribution that person makes to society. So it's really taken a toll, I think, on family, and it's also taken a toll on the assumption that we take fertility so much for granted, that it's something that we can control. Rather than, and it leaves God out of the equation. So just the wonder of conception has gotten lost in the process as well, I think.
Linda, I know a lot of parents are sitting right now listening, thinking, boy, I need advice. And you have so much advice in the book. And one of the areas that you hit is this tide of materialism in the world today. Our kids with their gadgets and the clothing and so much focus on materialism. How do we swim against that tide? Give our listeners some advice, maybe preschoolers and teenagers.
Different age kids,
okay.
I'm sure, is a little bit different.
Sure, I'll try to give a tip for each one, but can I just back up a step and just give one to parents as well? I think that, you know, being generous with having children is a number one way, because large families don't tend to have a lot of money left over for the frivolous.
Very true.
That's a start. And then, you know, giving of your time and talent generously to an organization, you know, other than your work, so then you definitely have, you know, less time to dwell on yourself. For preschool children, I really think it's important, you know, we've all experienced this. We go shopping and the little kids are in the cart.
Target. Oh,
give me.
It's so hard. You just don't even, you want to avoid that toy aisle. Like, don't even drive by.
Well, there's a tip right there. When you're not going there for that, that's what when you avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
And when they say, please, Mommy, can I have this? Can I have that? You just say no, and you explain why.
Saying no is okay.
It's absolutely okay. And, you know, our youngest daughter has Down syndrome, and she's 16 now. And it's the funniest thing with her, because our other kids were like, gimme, gimme, gimme. And when she was little, she never did. It was just a beautiful thing. For preteens, I think there's an example that I want to give, and maybe that'll be the example that'll sit at home. A mother called me one day because her daughter had gotten a birthday invitation from a friend who had requested in the birthday invitation that she get a gift certificate from this particular store. And that store was offensive to the mom. She had never shopped there. She didn't want to shop there. And so she called me to ask me if it was okay to not give that gift. And I said, well, first of all, what's a gift? You know, that's not, you don't demand a gift.
Yeah.
Right.
And so we came to the conclusion that, yeah, she wasn't going to do that. She was going to let her daughter go to the party, but she wasn't going to meet the demands of the girl in the
right
in the invitation.
Right.
And then for teenagers, what I think is probably going to be sound pretty controversial, but I talk in there a lot about teens, the problem with having money, etc. And I think that going on every shopping trip with every teen is crucial, because then you're giving the approval for their purchase.
Okay.
One of the things you emphasize in the book is relying as a parent on God-given talents rather than getting too caught up in expert advice. There is a certain infusion that God gives parents, isn't there?
Absolutely. He's the one that handpicked him for that child. So the one in their lap is meant to be there. And so, you know, he has confidence in them, and they have to have confidence in themselves, and experts have to have confidence in parents. You know, too many experts, of course, they know their area, but that's the area that they know. Whereas parents know their whole child. They know they love their child like no other. They will take care of that child when the expert's long gone, etc. And so, you know, parents really sometimes get the idea that they're a nitwit, you know, and sometimes we deserve that characterization, but most of the time we don't.
Kind of common sense sometimes. Use your head, right?
It absolutely is. And when you look at how parents have been shut out of the processes in some cases, for instance, some of the school lunch programs right now are demanding that parents pack a, if they're going to pack a cold lunch, they better be balanced. That's not their decision to make. So,
well, you've got an awful lot of good things in this book. There's other things. If we had time, I'd love to talk to you about parenting with one voice, but people are just going to have to get the book and read it for themselves. And, boy, you put an awful lot of research into this. Thank you, Linda. I really, really appreciate it. We've been talking with Linda Kroc, who is the author of this great book, Mothers Forever, Fathers Forever, Parenting Against the Tide. And you can get this book by going to the website. That's fortifyingfamiliesoffaith.com, fortifyingfamiliesoffaith.com.
And you can also be sent a mail-in order form by calling 651-470-3854. That's 651-470-3854.
And we've linked this information on our show page. Just go to rediscover-faith.org, click on radio in the top navigation bar, and the first two people to email us through the contact form on our website or via the Rediscover Hour at archspm.org, starting today, Friday, will be sent a copy of Mothers Forever, Fathers Forever, Parenting Against the Tide by Linda Kroc.
Coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, in Answering the Call, we'll speak with best-selling author and international speaker Sherry Waddell about our call to intentional discipleship.
Plus, hear why local Catholics are eager to read and reflect on the joy of the gospel by Pope Francis.
And learn about a unique prayer opportunity for you to explore this Lent. Rediscover Prayer brings together communal praise, confession, adoration, and reflection in one inspiring evening. We'll be right back.
This is Evan Beacom with a cultural note from Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas. The image of Our Lady with the Child Jesus in Santa Maria Maggiore in Rome is known simply as Salus Populi Romani, the protectress of the Roman people. Legend has it that the image was painted by Luke the Evangelist on the wood of the table of the Last Supper. Whatever its origin, Pope St. Gregory the Great had it processed through Rome in the 6th century to end an outbreak of the plague. Pope St. Pius V had it processed through Rome in the 16th century to pray for victory at the decisive naval battle of Lepanto. In August, it left Santa Maria Maggiore again, this time for Pope Francis' prayer vigil for peace at St. Peter's.
Relevant Radio is proud to bring you cultural notes from the University of St. Thomas Center for Catholic Studies. For information on local Catholic Studies events, go to the Events tab at relevantradio.com.
You are an ocean. I can get lost in the first wind on my shore. You are the sun.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Corey Regan.
And I'm Paul Sadek, and we're joined by a very special guest host this morning, the new Director of Evangelization for the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, Jeff Cavins.
Well, it's great to be here with you both today, the Rediscover Hour. You know, you guys have had some really popular, inspiring guests on the show over the past year, and I'm particularly really excited to welcome our next guest today, Sherry Waddell. She's an international speaker, best-selling Catholic author, and a person with boundless energy for the new evangelization. She's got a really hot book out there right now. Thanks for joining us, Sherry.
Thank you, Jeff. It's great to be here.
Well, it's good to talk to you. You know, a lot of people know you for this book, Forming Intentional Disciples, which we're going to talk about in a moment. And that book is on the top list on a lot of people's book lists right now, and for good reason. We'll get into that. But you've been involved in the Catherine of Siena Institute, which was founded back in the 1990s for a while now. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, basically, we started out to equip parishes to form lay apostles. That's our mission, always focusing on the faith, the gifts, the mission, the formation of the laity, you know, the vast majority of Catholics. And that work, especially in discernment, pushed us into evangelization, because that's how we discovered that huge numbers of even baptized and even practicing Catholics were not yet disciples. So that's our primary work. We work in evangelization, and we're probably best known for our gift discernment process. But we've worked all over the world in about 120 dioceses now, and directly with about 75,000 Catholics. So it's been an amazing opportunity to get a sense of what God is really doing out there in the lives of Catholics at all levels.
And speaking of the gift discernment, why is it so important now for lay Catholics?
Well, basically, we talk about the charisms. These are ways that you and I are supernaturally empowered by God for the sake of others. And they are ways that they're given to every single one of us in baptism, and they're really, really important ways in which they're both clues as to God's purpose for you, your call in life, and they are these supernaturally empowered tools that are given to us to enable other people to encounter the love and the mercy and the truth and the beauty and the wisdom and provision of God through us. And so it's just incredibly exciting on all levels.
How does one find out what gifts they're given? I'm just curious. Is there like a test you take?
Well, you don't take a test. You have to discern. We teach the discernment process.
Okay.
And so we teach people to look for the basic signs of the
clues.
But first of all, you have to find out what they are.
Okay.
So you have to find out what they are. You have to be aware that they even exist. And then you take action in a certain area where you think you may have a gift, and you see what God does. That's the very, very short version.
Okay.
You know that...
Yes.
Our graduates at the Catechetical Institute in St. Paul, Minneapolis, just went through this on the J term in January.
Oh, yeah.
Great results. They really, really enjoyed that. You know, Sherry, you're a friend, and we've been working on some initiatives together outside of this show. Very impressed with this book that you wrote back in 2012, Forming Intentional Disciples, The Path to Knowing and Following Jesus. I've noticed that over the last 2 years that phrase, intentional disciples, is really a coined phrase now. We're hearing bishops talk about it and others talk about it. What about this book do you believe resonated so strongly with Catholics and suddenly propelled this idea of discipleship to the very forefront?
I think it was because it was based on us having listened to tens of thousands of Catholics tell their stories. It came out of the gift discernment process, which is listening to people's stories as part of that. And that's how we realized a lot of people were struggling in discernment because they didn't have this relationship with God. And so that was part of it. All of us were wrestling with the same thing. We were all wrestling with, there's something wrong here. Something isn't quite connecting, and we don't have language for it. And we ourselves just started using the language of intentional discipleship about 7 years ago. And when we first started using it, it was so funny. They were stunned, and we got a lot of pushback because they thought we were being judgmental, or we were being, you know, elitist, or we were Protestant, you know. I mean, because only Protestants use language like that. That was the idea. And now, but of course it is deeply and profoundly Catholic at the deepest level of the Church's life and in her theology and everything. And so what is it about the book? I think it's just everybody, what they write me, they say, it's like you're reading my diary. It's like you were present at every conversation I've had in the last 4 years on this subject. And the only reason it feels that way to people is because, A, we were all asking the same questions, and B, we really listened.
Well, let me ask you one more question about that. Okay, I'm an average Catholic. I go to St. So-and-so parish in the suburbs. I've been involved in a couple things in the parish. We go to church every week, try to raise our kids Catholic. What are you telling me about intentional discipleship that I don't know? Is there a mm-hmm. world out there and a relationship with God yeah. that perhaps I don't know?
That's the big deal.
Like, there's more.
Yes. The center of going to church, the center of being Catholic, is actually consciously, deliberately seeking to follow Jesus Christ as a disciple in the midst of his church. And many, many Catholics, even in fact we know from studies, the majority of Catholics alive in the U.S. today are not certain you can even have a personal relationship with God. So that's one of the biggest issues of all. Where are you in your lived relationship with God? Yes, yes, it is not just for Protestants. I don't know where that idea came from when we have all these saints, all these popes talking about it for all these centuries. But the heart and soul of it, he is the center. Jesus Christ is the center of everything. He's the center of the Mass. He's the center of the church. He's the Lord of the church. And it is our encounter with him, our living encounter with him, and everything that pours out of that. See, when we have that encounter, all the graces we've received through baptism and through the Eucharist and through confirmation, they just start to pour out in our lives. Those charisms start to manifest. Amazing things happen. The Holy Spirit just, you know, shows up and does these stunning things because the heart of it is in place. Our personal response, our personal faith, are saying to the Lord, just like the disciples did, yes, Lord, I will follow you. And out of that comes everything else.
Now, you lay out some pretty alarming statistics. For example, only 30% of Americans who were raised Catholic are still practicing. 10% of all adults in America are ex-Catholics. I'm sure there are just thousands of different reasons, but what are some of the big ones why people are falling away from the church today?
There's two big reasons, basically, two tracks. Catholics, when they leave, they go one of two places, pretty much, in the U.S. One, they become nothing, mm-hmm. what they call a nun, meaning I don't claim any religious identity, no affiliation of any kind. I may still believe in God, but I don't have a religious affiliation. People who do that, typically, it's because their faith is getting weaker. They may not believe in some of the church's teaching, or they may not believe in God as such, okay? And they tend to leave very, very young. Nearly 80% of Catholics who become nothing are gone by age 23. So it's a very early phenomenon. The other track are Catholics who become Protestants. Now, they're on a different journey. They tend to be the ones that say, my spiritual needs weren't being met as a Catholic, and they are looking actively for something else. And so the irony is we have many people who leave not because their faith is getting weaker, but because it's getting stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And they just couldn't find anyone, or they see or recognize anyone in their parish that they could talk to about it. And so they go where this conversation is being held, and that's usually in the Protestant world. So it's basically one of two basic directions for most people, and their journey is different, their questions are different, and we need to be aware that there's, you know, to address both of those journeys.
Okay. And you are speaking at the Cathedral of St. Paul on April 5th in a morning that is rooted in prayer and the sacraments, and it begins with Mass and confession is available, time for adoration and the rosary are included. And what specifically will you be speaking on that morning on April 5th?
Well, I have two short talks. One will be on parishes that are actually basically doubling the number of intentional disciples in their parishes in 5 years, and sort of kind of just a very quick glimpse of what they actually do. And then the second one will be, I'm going to tell a story of a generation of Catholics in a situation very much like ours 400 years ago, 50 years after a council, after a lot of conflict and a lot of turmoil, who together, across all kinds of the whole spectrum, so we had priests and religious and lay people and married people and single people, all working together to restore and revitalize their church, And they not only transformed the church in their generation, but they had an impact on their nation for 150 years. It's the generation of saints. I will be telling the story of the great Catholic revival in France 400 years ago after the Council of Trent. And really, there's many, many things that we can learn from it. And the question for us, of course, is will we be the generation of saints for our day in the 21st century?
Well, you certainly have started the conversation rolling, and I know that people are responding to your book. And everywhere I go, when I talk to bishops and cardinals and others, this book is in their library, and they're trying to figure out how do we work together to make intentional disciples. And so we're really, really looking forward to you coming to the Twin Cities, and I think it's going to mean an awful lot. In terms of evangelization, Sherry, you probably didn't hear, but I'm the new director here, and I'm going to be working a lot in trying to come up with some new innovative ways to see this new evangelization take place. And your book is one of the playbooks for us, and so we really appreciate that.
Well, congratulations, Jeff. I had heard that, was very excited, and I'm looking forward to being in St. Paul again at the cathedral.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Sherry. Appreciate it. You can hear Sherry Waddell speak on April 5th as part of the Cathedral of St. Paul's First Saturday Series. That's from 8 in the morning till 11:45 in the morning in the main area of the church. There's going to be a free will offering, and that will be gratefully accepted. No registration is required, and so don't miss this opportunity to see Sherry Waddell in person the morning of Saturday, April 5th. This is a time where you're going to want to invite your friends. And if you are serious about seeing change in the church and change in people's lives, invite them. It's going to be an absolutely great morning.
And if you haven't already read Sherry's book, Forming Intentional Disciples, The Path to Knowing and Following Jesus, you can find it in Catholic bookstores and online.
And you can find out more about the Called and Gifted Charism Discernment Curriculum and other inspiring information on the Catherine of Siena Institute webpage. That's at sienna.org, sienna.org. We've linked to all of Sherry Waddell's information on our show page at rediscover-faith.org. Just click on radio in the top navigation bar.
Every week on the Rediscover Hour, we catch up with local people and ask them a question.
And earlier this week, we spoke with attendees at a talk by Deacon Joseph Mihalik at Holy Spirit Parish in St. Paul on the joy of the gospel by Pope Francis. And here's what they had to say.
My name is Trish from Holy Spirit Parish in St. Paul. I'm so anxious to study Joy of the Gospels because I've been a Catholic my entire life and have recently begun to really study my faith. And I see this as a marvelous opportunity to appreciate the perfection of my faith and to learn more about our Holy Father's plans.
Hi, my name is Jody, and I'm from Holy Spirit Parish in St. Paul. I'm very excited to study Joy of the Gospel for a number of reasons, but mainly because I'm intrigued by Pope Francis, and I want to hear what he has to say. I want to study it and live it in my life. So I'm looking for an opportunity to do this, and I'm hoping that this study session will allow that.
Hi, I'm Julie from Nativity Church in St. Paul. I've come together to study the Joy of the Gospel because I love Papa Francis. I believe he's just reinvigorating our church, bringing our Catholic faith to the streets. And as we study, I'm seeing more and more how he is challenging each one of us with our gifts, personality, or charisms to reach out to others to share the love of Jesus.
My name is Bill from Holy Spirit Parish in St. Paul, and I am studying the Joy of the Gospel because I am always looking for new ways to read the Gospel and get a new meaning from it.
My name is Joan. I'm from Holy Spirit Parish. I want to study Joy of the Gospel because I had read the book earlier, and it's so powerful, profound. I want to study it with other people in a group setting so I can put it into practice.
My name is Tom, and I'm from St. Francis de Sales of St. Paul Parish. After watching and listening with joy to the message of Pope Francis for the past year, when I learned of his encyclical, I really looked forward to participating in a session that would look at it very carefully as we moved through a paradigm shift from non-evangelization to evangelization.
Now, those folks attended the second in a four-part series of talks on the joy of the gospel by Pope Francis, so you could still attend one of those upcoming talks if you wish.
And the talks are free and open to all the faithful. Registration's not required. There are two more talks left. There's going to be one coming this Tuesday, March 25th, and the following Tuesday, April 1st. They're from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Holy Spirit in St. Paul, led by our good friend, Deacon Joe Mahalik.
And coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, we'll hear from Father Eric Rutten about your opportunity to participate in a unique and moving evening of prayer this Lent. We'll be right back. Rediscover.
Hi, I'm Paul Archambault from Stinson Electric. You're a facility manager or business owner with electrical or lighting needs, we can help. Have you heard the buzz lately about energy-efficient lighting? Do you wonder if it makes sense for your facility? You may not know who you should call or who you can trust. Energy-efficient lighting installations are usually eligible for utility rebates that defray part of your initial investment. Often these projects pay for themselves in as little as 1 year. You gain the added benefit of better quality lighting, less maintenance, and energy efficiency. We have designed and installed lighting upgrades for churches, schools, and commercial buildings for customers just like you who are often astonished with the results. We also install and service outdoor lighting on buildings and in parking lots to enhance safety and security. Call Stinson Electric, 612-424-7382.
You are on the road, must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. What did the Pope say this week?
I guess.
Teach your children well. There we go.
Fantastic advice.
It is. And let's see. On the feast of St. Joseph, patron saint of the Universal Church and Jesus' earthly father, Pope Francis urged all dads in the world to stick by their children's side, teaching them, guiding them, and loving them. He says, I ask that you have the grace to be very close to your children, letting them grow, but being by their side. They need you, your presence, to be there, your love. And he told all fathers that that were present in St. Peter's Square.
One of the things I keep hearing about Pope Francis is that he's just so earthy.
Down to earth.
Isn't that a great way to describe
it? He is. So let's see. You can read that on the Catholic News Service. I also have a video of that if you're interested in listening to that message from him. And now deepen your prayer life this Lent and invite a friend or a family member to join you.
And to do that, you can come to a Rediscover Prayer Evening. These evenings are a unique opportunity to experience Cor Jesu, worshiping Christ in community through Eucharistic adoration, confession, praise, benediction, and fellowship.
And Father Eric Rutten, he is the director of campus ministry at the University of St. Thomas, where members of the university community have come together for Cor Jesu since 2006. And Father Rutten, besides telling you I need to return your phone call, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Paul. Thank you for working with me.
Well, Father Rutten, this is Corey here. Can you describe briefly a Rediscover Prayer or Cor Jesu evening to someone who's never attended one? Just the rundown. What is it?
Sure. People gather in the church like you normally would for Mass, but the priest would come out vested and would expose the Blessed Sacrament. In other words, would place the host in a holder called the monstrance on the altar.
Okay.
And there would be a time of silence, and then the priest would read a reading, and give a short homily. Sometimes we call that a fervorino, and to break open the word. And then again, there's more silence. It's time for quiet and peace with the Lord, with the Lord present. And it's a beautiful time of movement in our hearts, of listening, of experiencing God's love. And this then leads to an opportunity for the sacrament of reconciliation. So while people are adoring the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, there's an opportunity to go to the sacrament of reconciliation one-on-one with the priest. And at the University of St. Thomas, we'll also have music, praise and worship music going again to lift up our hearts, lift up our spirits.
Now, as an organized prayer experience, this is rather unique, isn't it?
Well, it is. And it's really taken on and it's really become quite popular. It has some ancient elements, but also some new. In other words, the ancient, the tradition of kind of Eucharistic adoration or just being before the Lord is an ancient one. But we've brought that together with very kind of moving and uplifting music, but also then the opportunity to celebrate the sacrament of reconciliation. When we come before the Lord, we know our goodness, but we also know those spots that need healing, and that brings us right to the sacrament of reconciliation. So it's a beautiful opportunity.
You know, it kind of reminds me, Father, this is Jeff Cavins, kind of reminds me of the Taizé movement in France, you know, when we see the young people coming together around the Lord. And there's something about being with the Lord where you don't have to be clever. You don't have to come up with clever things. It's just he seems to have an impact on people when they're with him.
And we see that. We see that in our students, their prayerfulness, their joy, their community, the sense of community. All of these are fruits of Koryezu.
What would you say to invite someone to attend a Rediscover Prayer Evening this Lent with Koryezu? I imagine this might be a little intimidating to some folks.
It's actually quite easy, quite simple, and very refreshing. We sometimes think of prayer as we have to say our prayers. There's a sense of duty and obligation. This is an invitation really just to rest in the Lord. And I couldn't stress enough how important that is, especially during this time of Lent, just to spend that time with the Lord, lifting up our hearts and our joys and our struggles, but also hearing from him his care and concern for us.
Well, Father, we want to thank you so much for joining us today on the Rediscover Hour.
I'm delighted to be with you. Thank you very much.
Here are the details on the Rediscovery Prayer Evenings, which are a unique opportunity to experience Koryezu. Worshiping Christ in community through Eucharistic adoration, confession, praise, benediction, and fellowship. So mark your calendars. That's Tuesday, March 25th at St. Hubert's in Chanhassen, or Tuesday, April 8th at All Saints in Lakeville. So, these are going to be great meetings. They both begin at 7 o'clock. Details are going to be on the website. Waiting for you now, rediscover-faith.org. That's rediscover-faith.org.
Here's a look at other Catholic events happening around town. Last-minute reminder, if you're listening on Friday, still not too late to attend the 2014 Archdiocesan Men's Conference. It's Saturday, March 22nd at the Anderson Fieldhouse on the University of St. Thomas, St. Paul campus. Adoration and confession start at 7 a.m., Mass at 8 a.m. That's followed by inspiring talks. Archbishop Neinstadt and Auxiliary Bishop Pichet will both be speaking. Keynote by Dr. Douglas Bushman from the Augustine Institute. The event ends at noon. Adult admission $20, student admission $10. Walk-ins are welcome.
And another last-minute reminder, if you are listening on Friday or Saturday, the Shroud of Turin expert Barry Schwartz is in town for three talks Friday, March 21st and Saturday, March 22nd. Schwartz was the official documenting photographer for the Shroud of Turin team that conducted the first in-depth scientific examination of the Shroud. He is the only person still living who was on the original team. Free will offerings will be taken up after his talks, and the first one is March 21st, today, if you are listening on Friday, at St. Pius X in White Bear Lake at 4 p.m. Then he gives two talks on Saturday, March 22nd. The first is at Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Bloomington at 2 p.m., and the second is at Epiphany in Coon Rapids at 7:15 p.m.
All faithful are invited to the annual Chrism Mass, which will be celebrated at the Cathedral of St. Paul on Thursday, April 10th at 7 p.m. Join with others from throughout our local church in this tradition that dates back to the early church. At this Mass, the Archbishop blesses three oils that will be used in sacraments throughout the Archdiocese for the coming year. All priests present will renew their priestly promises during this special Mass. That's Thursday, April 10th at 7 p.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul.
If you ever wondered where those oils come from, this is it. It's well worth attending. You can hear Sherry Waddell, author of Forming Intentional Disciples, speak on April 5th. That's part of the Cathedral of St. Paul's First Saturday series from 8 to 11:45 a.m. in the main area of the church. Free will offerings gratefully accepted, no registration required. Don't miss this opportunity to see Sherry Waddell, who was our guest earlier on the show today, in person, April 5th in the morning at the Cathedral of St. Paul.
And the Servants of the Cross will be presenting the Living Stations of the Cross at 3 p.m. on Palm Sunday at the Church of North St. Peter in North St. Paul, and at two locations on Good Friday, noon at Presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Maplewood and 7 p.m. at Transfiguration in Oakdale. For more information on that, you can call 651-303-9209. That's 651-303-9209. And for more information on any of these things we've talked about today on the Rediscover Hour, you can go to rediscover-faith.org and click on radio.
Coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour, presented by your trusted electrical advisors, Stinson Electric, serving commercial, institutional, and facility managers in our area, we'll talk with Dr. Deborah Savage about the church's teachings on women and complementarity. Should be fascinating.
And we'll hear from men who attended the annual Archdiocesan Men's Conference about how this event inspired them.
That plus a whole lot more coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour, Fridays at 9 a.m., Saturdays at 6 p.m., and Sundays at 9 a.m. right here on Relevant Radio.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.